Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnar Trees podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book Empire of Illusion, The End of Literacy and the Triumph of Spectacle is a 2009 nonfiction critique by journalist Chris Hedges. Drawing on his experience as a war correspondent, minister, and public intellectual, Hedges argues that American public life has been hollowed out by entertainment, consumerism, and institutional deceit. The book is not a conventional policy analysis or media study. It is a moral and cultural indictment of a society that, in Hedges' view, has traded literacy, critical thought, and ethical seriousness for performance and distraction. He organizes the book around five illusions that shape modern American life: literacy, love, wisdom, happiness, and America itself. Each chapter examines a different institution or cultural sphere, from professional wrestling and pornography to universities, positive psychology, and corporate power. The result is a sweeping argument about how spectacle can replace reality and how citizens lose the tools needed to recognize truth. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, how spectacle replaces literacy in a culture trained to consume performance. Hedges opens with the illusion of literacy, using professional wrestling and celebrity culture to show how public attention is redirected from meaning to staged intensity. His point is not simply that entertainment is shallow, but that repeated exposure to pseudo-events can weaken the public ability to separate representation from reality. When politics, media, and fame all operate as performances, citizens are encouraged to react emotionally rather than think critically. The chapter suggests that literacy in the deeper sense is not just the ability to read words, but the capacity to interpret symbols, context, and power. Hedges sees this capacity eroding as entertainment formats reward simplification, conflict, and instant recognition. The result is a public sphere where notoriety becomes more valuable than substance, and where viewers mistake participation in spectacle for civic engagement. This theme sets up the rest of the book by showing how illusion begins at the level of everyday attention and then spreads into institutions that shape social reality. Secondly, pornography as a system of commodified intimacy and normalized degradation. The illusion of love is Hedges' most confrontational chapter because he treats pornography as an industrial system rather than a private indulgence. He argues that the industry does not merely reflect desire, it organizes sexuality around domination, humiliation, and profit. By presenting bodies as commodities, it turns intimacy into a transaction and detaches sex from reciprocity, vulnerability, and care. Hedges also links this culture to broader patterns of exploitation, especially the treatment of women as disposable labor and the use of market logic to justify harm. His criticism is not a moral panic in the usual sense. Instead, he insists that porn reveals what happens when the language of choice is separated from structural power, coercion, and economic need. The deeper implication is that a culture unable to distinguish between love and consumption will struggle to sustain empathy. In Hedges' framework, pornography becomes a symptom of a society where human relations are reorganized by the same forces that govern corporate and imperial domination. Thirdly, elite universities and the illusion of wisdom without moral inquiry. In The Illusion of Wisdom, Hedges turns to higher education and argues that elite universities often reproduce social prestige while failing to cultivate serious intellectual independence. He does not reject scholarship itself. Rather, he criticizes academic institutions that reward specialization, careerism, and deference to power while sidelining moral reasoning and public responsibility. For Hedges, wisdom requires more than technical competence or abstract expertise. It demands the courage to confront injustice, question official narratives, and connect knowledge to ethical action. The chapter challenges the idea that academic status automatically produces insight. In his view, universities can become complicit in broader systems of domination when they serve corporate, military, or managerial interests instead of fostering honest inquiry. This is one of the book's most important institutional critiques because it shows how illusion is maintained not only by mass culture, but also by respected elitist structures. Hedges is concerned that educated people may become fluent in analysis, yet unable to recognize the political and moral uses of their own knowledge. Fourthly, positive psychology and the corporate management of happiness. Hedges treats the illusion of happiness as an example of how even emotional life can be absorbed into corporate ideology. He is skeptical of self-help culture and positive psychology when they are used to frame dissatisfaction as a personal defect rather than a rational response to exploitative conditions. In this chapter, happiness is no longer a human good rooted in relationship, meaning, or justice. It becomes a managerial tool, something to be measured, optimized, and marketed. Hedges argues that such approaches can pathologize grief, anger, and dissent, especially in workplaces where employees are expected to remain cheerful while enduring insecurity or abuse. The issue is not whether optimism can be useful, but whether institutional pressure disguises obedience as well-being. By criticizing this trend, Hedges broadens the book beyond media satire and into labor and psychology. he shows that illusion can function as emotional discipline, helping organizations maintain control by recoding discomfort as a flaw in the individual rather than a consequence of the system. Lastly, The Illusion of America and the Collapse of Democratic Self-Understanding. The final chapter expands the argument from culture to national identity. Hedges contends that the United States has built an illusion of America around myths of freedom, virtue, and exceptionalism that obscure militarism, corporate power, inequality, and social breakdown. The nation presents itself as morally coherent while depending on violence abroad and insecurity at home. In this sense, the illusion of America is not a single falsehood, but an organizing story that lets citizens avoid confronting imperial overreach, privatized public goods, and the erosion of democratic life. Hedges warns that when a society can no longer distinguish image from reality, it loses the capacity for self-correction. The democratic system then becomes vulnerable to manipulation because public language is saturated with slogans rather than truth. Yet he does not end only in despair. He identifies moral resistance in the willingness to recognize reality and remain faithful to others. That gives the book its ethical center. Truth-telling and love become acts of defiance against a culture that rewards denial. In conclusion, Empire of Illusion is best suited for readers interested in cultural criticism, media theory, political ethics, and critiques of consumer capitalism. It will appeal especially to those who want a forceful argument about how entertainment, corporate power, and institutional prestige shape public consciousness. The book is valuable not because it offers a detailed reform program, but because it names patterns of self-deception that are easy to overlook when they are spread across different institutions. Hedges connects media spectacle, pornography, higher education, psychology, and national myth into one moral diagnosis, which gives the book unusual range for its site. Compared with more narrowly focused books about television, advertising, or politics, it stands out for its sweeping ethical vision and its insistence that cultural decline is also a crisis of perception and conscience. Readers looking for a calm, balanced analysis may find the tone severe, but those willing to engage a polemical warning will gain a clear picture of how illusion can become a social system. Its enduring value lies in that broad, interconnected critique. If you would like to support Chris Hedges, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.